Brené Marshall. It's December 7th, 2019. I'm here at StoryCorps of Irvine with Jessica and Aaron.
I'm Jessica Hollinsworth. I'm 26 and I'm an equestrian.
I'm Aaron Hollinsworth. I'm 25 and I'm a filmmaker and beekeeper.
So I'm here with Jessica and Aaron. How did we even make first contact?
Well, Renee contacted me on LinkedIn. She reached out to me with the intention of creating a professional relationship in order to see if we have people within our connections that might be able to help accomplish each other's goals. And I know that you do some storyboarding, Renee, and which is relevant, obviously, to film and television, what I'm trying to accomplish. So I think that you saw, based on my resume, what things I've been working on and therefore contacted me with that purpose.
Absolutely, Aaron. One of the things I've been doing for the past 20 years is really taught by one of my mentors. She told me, always make friends with people who are your junior and also who are like a generation your senior. And be honest with them, be yourself, and invite them to something fun so they can get to know you. And through that, the business connection will come. So just a quick story. So when I lived in Seattle, Washington, one of the ways that I had a chance to work with really great indie filmmakers who did both music videos and horror comedy is that I went to the University of Washington when they had a filmmakers meetup. And at the filmmakers meetup, someone was pitching a project. But during the pitching of the project, there were many actors and camera operators in the audience, right? It's a round table, and without naming names, the person who was in charge of the project started putting down certain writers and certain actors. And as a result, I invited some of the actors that spoke up and said, you know, actually, that's not respectful, or that's not really respecting the craft, but thank you, no thank you. So I said, let's go grab some ice cream. We ended up grabbing ice cream, ended up doing a horror movie together. And then, you know, sometimes we do some rollerblading. So that's how a lot of contacts began. So I think I'll pass the question to you, Aaron. Among so many things you do that are super creative, you also are involved with some beekeeping. Do you have a beekeeping story for us?
There was one time when we were doing a bee removal on a roof. It was a tile roof. The first time I'd actually worked on a roof before, and the hive was pretty aggressive. Every time that we would try to work on the roof, we'd get attacked in some fashion. I had a standard suit on because I was the one up on the roof. Jessica was providing ground support, and she didn't have an official suit at the time because we didn't have the money to purchase one. And she had kind of a makeshift one out of a jacket with kind of a hood and different things. Well, I think she might have had like a mask or something, but nonetheless, at one point when I had taken the tile off the roof and I was trying to take the plywood off, as I was prying up nails, I hit the wrong spot on the hive. And then next thing you know, maybe 500 bees come flying out, very aggressive. And I mean, we probably got lucky because there's 10,000 bees on average in a colony. So I ended up screaming down to Jessica, run, run. And so she ended up taking off running and hopped the fence and ended up getting stung multiple times from bees that had crawled into her mask. Wow. So she looked like she had gone three rounds with Rocky.
Yes, we got married March 4th, 2017.
So both of you have very interesting lives and you combine forces as a married couple. How did Aaron convince you to be part of beekeeping?
Well, I'm also an ag student. I have a degree in animal science, ag business, and equine science. And he was getting interested because we have a bees in our side of our building on our property, and he started to get more into it. And then once he had a bee job, I went with him on the first bee job, and I got hooked from there. I really love bees, and they are an amazing creatures.
I agree. They're really amazing creatures, and the time that I had a chance to be up close with bees is when I worked for community television, and I was in Tacoma, Washington at the time, running a film crew, and we got to go in the field in Tacoma, Washington, which is not known for beekeeping. It's definitely a blue-collar, working-class, sort of like run-down city that I love. But there was this nonprofit called Mahoney, and it was run by a Catholic parish. And they did it as a way to rehabilitate people who have been incarcerated and teach them a craft, making candles, making soap, collecting honey. So I produced a small, in-the-field micro-documentary where the St. Leo's Parish went out with the film crew to show us how they gently used the, you know the equipment better than I do, the little smoking equipment, right, to kind of make them feel calm and explain how honey is gathered and what sort of sugar mixture and nutrients they provide to thank the bees and feed the bees as they take the honey. And I really appreciate that experience. We did plenty of waivers, and we wore the beekeeping, full beekeeper's outfit. And that's something that I really thought was just fascinating and so useful. Would you talk a bit more about agriculture, and especially from life as an equestrian, Jessica?
Well, I got involved in horses at a young age, around 9. At age 12, I really started my love for horses and riding more officially. By age 21, I got my first horse. And all that time, I was riding green horses, those horses that haven't had much training. And I was getting thrown from horses a lot. And one of my biggest accidents was on my 17-hand Belgian thoroughbred cross. And I got slammed into a fence, and I acquired a herniated disc. And also another injury I received from riding horses was my ACL ripped and my meniscus ripped, and I currently had surgery because of that. And my goal now is to learn how to walk again without the crutches, mm-hmm. and to ride again, and hopefully get to training level in the next few years. My dad built me a round pen recently for my horses because I can't ride them, so I can work them from the ground in the round pen. And my major goal is to get to Grand Prix and work for Ashley Bond. She's on the Australian Olympian team right now, and I hope to one day get into the Olympics.
Crutches today. You're carrying one crutch with you, and you're wearing this lovely soft like moss green top and these really beautiful western style boots. with your Olympic goal and all these lovely things that you're building together as a couple, what are some of the things that you do, both like, you know, it's for fun, but also you're kind of working towards that Olympian goal?
I really put everything into horses. Aaron has been really encouraging me to only go for what I really want to do with my life and not just take any job that there is. And I think with each other, we're able to accomplish both our goals. Only we can do it together. You have to have teamwork to make the dream work, right?
you have a very practical example just you helping Aaron to hold maybe a ladder steady.
Yeah.
And does Aaron, do you sometimes go to the stables with Jessica?
I used to a lot more back in the day, but now it's funny, the stables are in my backyard now, but I go there less often. Well, I told Jessica, and she understands, you know, obviously we help each other with our passions, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily fully passionate about, you know, what the other person's passionate about. So, you know, I've helped her a lot back in the day when we used to board him and go to the stables for her or whatever when she couldn't make it, when she was working a full-time job before. And so now it's like it's nice because she is able to kind of get out there more often and actually take care of them easier without having to drive a long distance. So I'll go out there with her every once in a while. She's encouraging me to start learning how to ride, which I'm interested in doing, but I've just been so busy and I've been trying to prioritize other things. So, but definitely something that, you know, we'll delve into more in the future.
That's really lovely. You have a lifetime together to make the dream work. And each of you have this subject, like a different subject matter expertise, which is so cool. So I don't want to say power couple, but kind of leaning towards that. I believe in love. And it's so wonderful when people, you know, as you described, you really are supporting each other's dreams. So today we're actually heading off as a trio to join my friend in Costa Mesa, who's running a music festival. For me, it's a chance to meet other people who do music video work, who do camera operation, director of photography. And also, I don't mind the catchy tunes of someone named Rachel J. She has this really wonderfully delightful pop song called Snack. It's delightfully poppy and lighthearted, but also incredibly obscene if you really listen to the double entendres. So that's my goal for today, besides also just congratulating Tony. This is the end of the year, December 2019, and he's been doing these music festivals small, like in Santa Ana for a few years, and then other places in the OC, and then he had one in LA that was very successful, and so he's blowing up. But the reason why I mentioned Tony at all is that he is very much like the two of you, very creative. He's all in as far as what he sees for vision. He wants to do what he wants to do in life. He's not settling for a 9-to-5 that isn't a fit, so he's all invested. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And for the two of you, what are some of your hopes for today?
My hope is to, well, contribute to the festival in any way I can for the few hours that we are going to be there, because we're going to be there on a short shift, but maybe meet a couple people in the process. Obviously, Tony now is a contact, and I have his phone number, so I'm able to talk to him. And so, I mean, that's kind of cool to be able to meet these people. And, you know, like you said, people who may or may not be able to help you, but nonetheless, they're just, you know, cool people to get to meet that do different things.
Absolutely.
And that's what I kind of, actually, I talked to my cousin last night and we talked about this, and, you know, he kind of mentioned how he wants people who specialize in certain things to help him with his things, which I understand, but I kind of, you know, expressed there are different perspectives on specialization too. It's like with filmmaking, there are so many aspects to it. And so someone could be a filmmaker and they do directing, writing, and sometimes even acting, if like someone like Seth Rogen, let's say. So, but yeah, so I mean, like everyone does different things and they have their specialties, but yeah, it's just really interesting to be able to meet people within these different fields.
Today, I'm really looking forward to something I hope will happen at past music festivals for the Hidden Fest. This group called Too Late, they're artists, musical artists, and also different kind of artists. So there's a mural, interactive mural, that participants, people who are concert goers, get to help create. It's almost like the process is being videotaped, almost like it's art experience, immersive. And at the very end of the concert, we get to see what all these like artists and supposedly non-artists have made together, along with all these musical acts. I just love the idea of creation, and the process. And we don't know. We don't know what it'll look like at the very end, but we're making this together. That's just something I love. So how about you, Jessica? What I usually, why I ask these questions is because when I worked in book publishing, one of my very first mentors, he said to me, Renee, what are you expecting from this internship? It was a really funky Berkeley publisher. They're around for 30 years or so, but I was in the children's book section of their publishing arm, and my job was to look at grants. There were photography books, there were nature books like Humphrey, the Humpback Whale, and also things like California history and living with indigenous peoples. So what exactly are you hoping? It's like, I just hope I do well at this internship. It's like, I think that's a lovely answer. I can hear your earnest heart, but tell me what is really big. What is something that you hope that you'll run into? So I said, well, I hope to learn more about media. I hope to understand the business behind artists. It's like, that's what I want to hear. That way I know who to introduce you to.
I really would love to meet more people that are into media and making films, because I also want to make films on riding horses and helping people be educated with horses. And I think meeting these people and finding positive people that want to do the same thing and educate people, I think that's pretty amazing.
Thank you. Like, this, I'll keep my ear out and my eye out for that. There are so many crossovers, as in there's a writing group that I belong to, and they're very into speaking the mind about current issues, right? But also, they happen to be crocheters and knitters, and you might say, like, oh, you know, why mention that at all? Sometimes there's a secondary connection, right? You write about politics. But also, you knit a pretty cute baby Yoda. And that's how a person is remembered. It's like, oh, you really do need to meet my friend. Or like in your case, Jessica, you care very much about horseback riding and filmmaking and education. Especially, am I right in saying the journey to recover from injury, these things matter to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think finding positive people, because during surgery and stuff, it's pretty, puts you in a very negative mindset. And finding positive people that want to help you create your dreams and help, and you can help to create their dreams, I think that's a huge aspect in life. And finding friends and just getting to know people, because this life is very short. Yeah, it's a very challenging mind space, and especially with somebody that likes to get things done and doesn't like to ask for help very much, mm-hmm. It's hard to sit back and having to watch other people take care of you when you rather take care of them.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah.
Comes from a place of a person who's very driven. I can hear that, very driven, but also very caring. So definitely seem like the leader type, but also a person who, you know, would jump in to help someone else. I can hear that. And about 2 years ago, I was attacked by a stranger, and I ended up with nerve damage in my hands, and also I was using a walker during occupational rehab for it. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, putting on the bottoms of my clothes was difficult for me. How am I going to do the things that I set for myself that year? How would I do director of photography? How would that even be possible? And so I when you talk about like a challenging mind space, I hear it. So what I did was I chose to be vulnerable, and I met other people who are singers, who don't have much experience on the film set, and they said, you know what, I'm a singer. And in the future, in the late future, if you were to do a music video, maybe you can let me on set and we could barter. But for now, I would like to drive you to wherever you need to go to get things done. being vulnerable and letting people know what is that little gap that I needed, I can help them, they can help me. That was just amazing. And so specifically what came from that project where I was thinking, you know, my hands don't work right, I couldn't grip a pen to sign my name at the time. But what I was able to do is just use my project management, and I was able to delegate the camera operations director of photography, and what was made was a life-size stop-motion animation using sailing equipment, boat-building equipment, and you know, my dream came to pass, but only because I let people know what I need. And also I thought, I know that I can pay them back. So yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. I am really looking forward to hearing more about the both of you. Either one can just grab the mic. What is something that, you mentioned agriculture, Jessica. What drew you to agriculture?
I believe horses drew me to agriculture. I wanted to be able to run my own ranch, like the mentors that I've had in my life. They were able to run their own ranches, and I saw all the issues that go along with it. And I wanted to do the same thing, but also have a ranch that I was able to grow my own fruits and vegetables, and not have to rely on going to stores and stuff anymore. And having that agriculture background, I feel like will help me in the future and help other people, because I think everyone should be able to grow their own produce in their backyards without any issues and not have to rely on going to the store so much and having fresh vegetables and at their own homes.
I would imagine that the food you prepare is lovely, even if it's just assembling a salad from your very own garden.
I wish, but Aaron is the cook, actually. He is an amazing chef, and he's even better than my mom. But my mom cooks very well, but he should make his own restaurant, I actually believe.
Oh, my goodness. I just wanted to share like a dovetail to that. I actually know a couple. I met them in book publishing, and the husband became a chef. He's a chef in New York, and they own a restaurant. So many, many adventures ahead for the two of you.
Yes, hopefully.
Aaron, would you like to talk about some of the things that you do in LA?
I recently connected with this friend of mine who does videographer work. He has his own company, but he also coordinates for studio audiences at CBS and Warner Brothers. He's like a freelancer. He'll get contracted by the company who is responsible for filling those seats. They'll try to fill it first with ticket holders, and then they contract these groups to recruit people to come in. So basically, I've been helping coordinate. I've only known the guy for about a month, and like I kind of jokingly, but that, you know, there's always some truth to every joke, as the old saying goes. So I'm not sure I could always say that, but in this case, I kind of joked with him. I said, you know, you've only known me for about a month. I'm not sure what it is, you know, that about me that you want to help me out so much, because he's given me so many opportunities already. Like my first real estate listing shoot, which I helped him out with, which was a paid gig. And so we went out and did that the other day. And so, I mean, great experiences coming from it, and also more contacts and all of that. I'm hoping to be more incorporated into that studio setting at CBS or whatever, because I want to become a production assistant. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be for a studio, but I figure that's probably one of the best settings, because it's so well organized usually in those settings. And, you know, but it's just so tough to get into that industry because there are so many applicants. And from what I've understood, it's, they usually don't hire through the website applicants. They usually hire based off of referrals and like that, unless you have a ton of experience. Uh-huh. So.
Right. I'm sure that today and also in the future, you'll meet plenty of other people who have been your interest in how well-run a studio is reveals a bit of your mindset too. Can I ask you, and you could also say pass, or you have to think about it. If you had a studio, and if you were hiring a production assistant, can you describe a day or a shift?
I haven't really had an official shoot yet in that sense, so I would probably forget some things or leave some things out, I'm sure, until I, you know, you always go into that situation and then end up hitting a thousand walls through the process. So I don't know, I would say at this point, since we would have to, I would probably incorporate the production assistant into like multifarious aspects of production and maybe even pre-production, depending on what their skill sets are. I would probably hire every production assistant with the intention of them moving into some other role at some point, unless they really just don't have that much interest in anything particular, maybe. But I mean, I would say I would probably ask them to do things like search for actors for casting, things like that. I would almost incorporate like other roles into their role, like casting director type stuff or things like that, and then kind of just oversee that and supervise that, because it would definitely streamline the process, I think, on such a big project, you know, having to write. Like right now I'm helping that friend that I mentioned, I'm helping him write a television series that they're currently seeking producers for, and they have one producer who's pitching it to other producers right now, so and just trying to get the thing written, it's like, even with two or three people, it's a big, you know, a big process. So, I mean, it's a slow process. And then of course, with these things, you never know if the projects are actually going to fall through or not, you know? So, I mean, really it would just, I don't know, I would say it would be a lot of day-to-day activities, like, but really I'm not really at that point yet. So, I don't really know exactly where what they would be doing probably until the time came, you know.
I hear you, Aaron. What you said revealed something really lovely, and it reveals a very organized mind and a very disciplined creative. This is what I heard you say, that the way you picture in the future, if you were in charge of mentoring a production assistant, you'd make it available to her to rotate, to see from casting to day-to-day activities. Maybe day-to-day activities could include like craft services or location scouting or maybe even waivers and such. So you would give someone a taste of all these different departments so that they would have a chance to develop and grow and then hone in on like their specialty. So I think when you say like, I'm not sure yet, I'm not really there, in your mind, you already have a really great roadmap, like a blueprint of what you're looking for and how you would treat someone else. That's something that I always look for in other people. People that I just identify as like, this person is really interesting. And we have about 15 minutes more, but I'm going to share a little bit of my philosophy, if that's okay. In a conversation that I've had in the past with someone who's a heavy metal musician and indie game designer, he asked me, why exactly are you the way you are? And why do you seek out friendships with neighbors? And I explained to them, you know, that theoretical question that, you know, a little kid tells another kid in second grade, like, what if you could go time travel in the past, what would you do? And some kids say, I would make sure to meet all the famous scientists, all the famous musicians, all of the people who made an impact regarding human rights. It's like, well, okay, I'll take that. Present day, we don't need a time travel machine. Currently, we can meet these people. And I'm not looking for fame. I'm identifying people that I really, really believe will make an amazing impact. Because of what they care about, is not necessarily what the brand is. So they might become very commercially successful. I wish them, you know, blessings upon that. But also they're trying to build something for their family, and also they have some sort of driving philosophy. My background is My family is of Chinese ancestry. And my great-grandfather, on my mother's side, was a surgeon, but also he was a composer. And during the Communist Revolution, because he was Western trained as a surgeon, they took him into the square and they broke his hands. They broke his hands, and then they took him to a labor camp for a few years. So he's both a scientist and an artist. And I think that story, I know it's not DNA, but that story lives on in my family and in me. So that type of idea, there are so many factors out there, politics or just mean people, that will try to stop you because of what you love and what you care about. Even though you mean no harm, you want to help people, you want to create something beautiful. And so that is the reason I do what I do.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit about what you mentioned about someone asked you, why do you go out and meet these people? And I was thinking of it from my perspective as well, because my best friend is an attorney. He lives in Malibu. He's quite a bit older than me. He's 39. I'm 25. So usually you don't strike friendships as easily. I don't know, maybe as you get older it changes, but typically you tend to strike friendships with people who are a little bit closer to your age range and stuff. So it's really cool to kind of get out there and meet people that are like a little bit older, like you said, younger, like how you mentioned earlier, you know, have people that you're friends with that are junior to you and senior to you as well, right? It's very important because there are a lot of experiences to be had out of that, or other people's experiences that you can learn about. But basically, to keep a long story short, we were at a concert and neither of us really would have been there at the time if it weren't for us supporting other people. So in my case, my cousin was supporting or promoting the venue and the show. And so I was there helping him out. And then my friend, who I'm speaking of now, he was there supporting his promoter friend. And then we were just sitting there talking. Next thing you know, we're sharing drinks and stuff. And then we exchange information. Well, we went months without really talking, and he kept trying to reach out to me and kind of, you know, start a friendship. And I was like, well, this guy's putting in a lot of effort to be my friend. So obviously, you know, I should try to do the same. So we ended up becoming the best of friends now. And I mean, we've only known each other for a relatively short time, but it just comes to show you never know when or where you're going to meet people that end up being sometimes the most important people in your lives, at least for a moment or at least for a period.
I love that. Could be for a lifetime or a season. I want to turn the mic over to Jessica. Would you tell me about your love of animals a bit more?
Well, I've always loved animals since I was a little kid. Even in pictures, my mom has pictures of me holding our chickens and bunnies and even kittens. I have two Siberian Huskies and a Schnauzer, and they are a lot of work, but they're the best dogs I've ever had. And one of the best dogs I ever had was when I was growing up. I had a flat-coated retriever named Callie, and she's really what made me really love animals, because she was the best dog in the entire world. And she passed away in 2015, but she was everything to our family. So it made me even love animals more, because they show unconditional loyalty and respect and love for their owners no matter what. So hopefully one day I'll have a lot more dogs and horses in my life.
I want to just throw in there, you notice how she referred to every dog that she's ever owned as one of the best dogs I've ever owned.
They're all special in their own way.
As a surfer, I've done it once, and I'm a poor swimmer, but I swim year round. And why do I mention this? It's kind of like, I'm not sure if it's a bucket list, but I'm hoping that the people I meet might spread the word that I'm also looking to befriend some ocean scientists, so that I might be able to go maybe assist, do some video work, maybe pro bono. I'm saying it on the air. Pro bono, just to assist them with the research as a non-scientist. But I have a soft spot for the blobfish. For the blobfish, ones that are considered not aesthetically pleasing. And all the animals that are sort of mushy. But for land animals, too, I have been an aunt to a duck. My sister did adopt a duck for a while, and at the time, our family had the yard for it. I've also been an auntie to some Netherland dwarf rabbits, and I currently have a tuxedo cat, and I live with my sister, and she has an elderly chihuahua named Strawberry. Little Strawberry is aging, and we love her, and it's interesting. We didn't intend on this, but little dogs sometimes get little skin tags, and so it looks like she's growing strawberries on her, and we love her even more. And the name is sort of predictive.
That's funny that you say that you've surfed, because I haven't surfed, but my dream really is to learn how to surf. Mm-hmm. I'm a really good swimmer, but obviously I need to heal up from this injury.
Sure.
But my dream is to surf next year,
mm-hmm.
hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. I know some people when I used to work in social work who have been surfing for a few decades, and they really enjoy it. It's just really good. But that also, in my little computer in my head, in my little library, for surfing when it's time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would love that. I think my future holds us having a family in the next few years, and building our careers and going to the Olympics one day. And I think also that we will have a lot of friends and family around us that will be helping us once they actually see us really trying to go for these dreams. Because I think right now, everything's just a process, and it takes a while to grow these friendships that will help us make it to where we want to be. Aaron?
Yeah, I would just basically say the same thing, really. I mean, maybe I would add that, like she said, you know, we're going to have those friends and family around us, you know, and it's kind of funny because, you know, family doesn't necessarily always just refer to the people that you're like blood related to. Family could be a lot more like a broader term.
Yeah, very true, because I'm adopted. So family is who stays in your life and takes care of you. So it doesn't mean it's blood or not. It's just somebody that's actually going to be there for you.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is you only have as many friends as you could count on one hand, typically. But I don't know, maybe that doesn't always have to be the case. But I guess what I'm trying to say is there's definitely differences between friends and acquaintances, too. So it's like my goal is to have more friends, you know, or at least maintain quality friends, people that are positive, that can help inspire us and, you know, not have so much negativity.
Inspire each other, basically, because obviously friends are going to be, you're going to have to be there for them as well, since life isn't always going to be perfect, you know.
It's true, life isn't ever going to be perfect, but the two of you sound lovely and unstoppable. Thank you so much for today, Aaron and Jessica. It's been a joy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was good.
That's good.
Okay.
Were you nervous, Jessica?
Yeah,
she was like super nervous on the way here.
You sound nervous, though.
She doesn't, huh?
You sound lovely.
She was like, on the way here, like.
I want to try to like drop the anxiety from the provider that I was going to do certain things with and feel anxious. I didn't want to say this on the air, but it just like I brainstormed as like live stream. So, have you ever considered? And this is no pressure. Just came up. Have you considered with your ranch and with your dogs? Have you considered setting ground rules in your head, exactly how you like things to run? Just like I asked you, like if you were to hire a production assistant, how would you treat them or what grounds? Have you considered having it as a film location and charging people for it, making sure they don't touch them, to harm them?
So, Christian, my friend, I'm talking about,
okay.
The attorney guy.
Yeah.
He said that He, you know, he's known about that happening, and I think
okay.
I think his parents have like a nice house over there
mm-hmm.
in Malibu or whatever, and so they wanted to use their house, I think, to like film there or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And then like, I don't know if they ended up doing it. I think they did. And they went away for like a week, and they got paid some nice amount of money,
did
and
she, the property
and they yeah they put everything back. They said we're gonna move things, but we'll put it all back the way that it was when we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I would be more than willing to do it, but I'm just wondering. My question was. What's so, like, there's nothing really that special about my house.
Okay, like, so
you know what I mean?
Mine goes, like, there's another universe of things, but I definitely don't want to pressure you.
Yeah.
I always say, like, protect what's yours, protect what you care about and what belongs to you.
Yeah.
So that's what I always had, like, have in mind. What are the ground rules do you set? You care, your animals are, like, your family, right? Just like, I was thinking, anyone that I let in my house, they have to be incredibly vetted, and in some cases, for no amount of money, are they going to pass through that threshold? So, believe it or not, I'm not saying I know someone right away,
mm-hmm.
but there are people who are willing to pay to film, you know, half days, a few hours, because the scenery of your garden, to be by your animals. But again, do your research, or do you have it in mind what the ground rules are before you say, I'm going to do a meet and greet. You don't know what they're up to.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my child. This by the shape of the horse, that's my child.
Yeah.
So, like, find out first, but yeah, believe
well, yeah, but if it was, like, well, like, for example, like,
some income.
Like, well, yeah, no, if it was, one, if it was a reputable production company and I knew that,